So every year, St. Peter is sent out to do a tour of a shrine attached to a particular saint. And in conversation with the Blessed Virgin Mary, he decides that this year he will visit every single shrine attached to Mary. He goes off on his tour, and upon his return, he meets up with Mary and says, "It was a wonderful tour. Numbers at your shrines are greater than any other saints. But one thing puzzles me. Every statue and painting that captures you, you're looking sad. Why is that? Have they got that right?" Mary looks at Peter and says, "They've got it right, but I really don't want to tell you why I was sad." Peter replied and said, "Look, I can be pastoral. Please tell me." Mary paused and finally said, "Well, you see, Peter, I really wanted a girl." So Mary and Joseph were real, ordinary people who had hopes and plans. They were engaged or betrothed, which was the first step in marriage. Based on the conventions of that time and the culture, scholars think that Mary was probably about 14 years old, a normal age for betrothal, and Joseph was probably a little bit older. They might have thought about what it would be like when they were married and had children. Mary might well have wanted a girl. However, that's not what God had planned for her and for Joseph. And Mary and Joseph opened themselves in faith to what God wanted to do in their lives. God takes ordinary people and works in them and through them to do extraordinary things. Ordinary people like all of us, must open ourselves to what God wants in our lives. And when we open ourselves to God, it might get messy. And even though things might not happen the way we had hoped and that we had planned, still, we can do God's work and share God's good news of Jesus Christ with others. Near the end of the passage that we read today, we heard, "When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus." This statement sounds very calm, but when we think about it, the situation is closer to being earth-shaking than calm. Everything about this situation goes against the cultural norms of the times and against what Joseph could have done. There's really very little information about Joseph in Scripture. I feel like he doesn't get enough recognition for the important part that he played in the life of Jesus. Joseph was the earthly father of Jesus. He stayed with Mary when in that culture he had every right to leave her. When he discovered that she was pregnant and he knew the baby was not his, he had the option to divorce her publicly for adultery, which would have been a death sentence for her. The gospel tells us that Joseph was a righteous man, which meant that he would do what was right, what he had to do by law, which would be to divorce her since she had been unfaithful. It also tells us that as a righteous man, he would instead choose the merciful option of divorcing her quietly, sparing her certain death. But then in a dream, Joseph was visited by an angel, a messenger from God, who told him that Mary's pregnancy was from the Holy Spirit. And the angel told him that he would take Mary as his wife, she would bear a son, and the angel said to Joseph, you are to name him Joseph, Jesus. Matthew tells us that the angel addressed Joseph as son of David, which was really important to the Jewish audience first hearing this gospel. They knew that the Messiah would be a descendant of David, which needed to happen through Joseph. The whole genealogy is given in the first 17 verses of the Gospel of Matthew and tells the reader that Jesus is the descendant of David through Joseph. By naming the baby, Joseph acknowledged Jesus as his son. In naming him, Joseph effectively adopted Jesus and made him part of the line of David. Because Joseph opened himself to God, because he faithfully accepted the unbelievable, the outrageous information that the angel had given him, life was complicated. His plans were changed, and God's work was done. Sometimes amidst changed plans and failures and messiness, we find God at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. When we listen to God and respond in faith, it doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. In our culture at this time of year, we get inundated with images of what a perfect family Christmas should be. We have lots of false expectations around what Christmas ought to be. We see movies about perfect Christmas celebrations, and we see ads on TV and in print showing what lovely Christmas decorations and perfect meals should look like. We see those ads with that perfectly browned turkey on a fancy platter being carved into perfect slices at the dinner table with beautiful place settings and a perfect family around the table. Friends share photos and videos on Facebook and Instagram of magnificent decorations and parties and presents and dinners. But in reality, that's not always how it happens. At our house, it seems like there's always something that was forgotten in the fridge or in the pantry that was supposed to have been on the table for that nice big dinner. Sometimes there are spills. Or there's that one friend or relative that just doesn't quite fit in. And when we open ourselves to listen and let God's work happen, none of those things really matters. I think we've probably all had a time when we had something planned and it was going to be perfect, and then everything didn't go as planned. Maybe it was a minor mix-up. Or maybe it was a colossal failure. Sometimes it's in the messy mix-up or the ruined plans that we experience grace and mercy and feel the presence of God at work. I heard a story on the radio recently about a family whose plans got messed up. A man said that his family's tradition was to drive a couple hours away to a tree farm to cut a Christmas tree and bring it home. They loaded up the kids and arrived at the tree farm late in the afternoon, and then they went out and found a great tree. They cut it down, they loaded it in the back of their truck, and they headed home. As they were driving down the highway, the car behind them started flashing its headlights. He pulled over, and the people said they had seen the tree fall off the truck a ways back. Well, they went back and they started looking for the missing tree. Other cars saw them out walking the road and they stopped and helped look too. And then a police car stopped and they helped look also. They could never find the tree. The little kids were crying and upset because their tree was gone. But they thanked the police and the folks who stopped and helped them look. They got back in the truck to head home. But even though he knew the tree farm was closed, the man decided to call, and the owner answered. He told the story to the tree farm owner, and the owner said to come on back, he would wait for them. He took them out with flashlights and helped them find and cut another tree. And when the man asked how much he owed, the tree farm owner said this one was free. The family was very grateful. And then when they got home, they got a call from the police department. The police officers had felt so sorry for those kids that they took up a collection and they bought a new tree for the family. So the man explained how the tree farm owner had been so generous. And then he asked the police officers if they could deliver the tree that they had to a family who maybe couldn't afford one. After telling the story, the man expressed how blessed they felt to receive God's grace through the acts of total strangers. It's often in messy or failed situations, those that don't go as we had planned, that we can find and experience God's grace working through ordinary people. As we finish this Advent season of preparation and anticipation, of planning for the celebration of the incarnation of our Lord, let's focus on the faith that Joseph had. When we feel inadequate or even like a failure because our plans didn't work out, remember that when God comes into our lives and we listen and we move forward in faith, it's not always pretty. The birth of Jesus was not a well-orchestrated, beautifully planned, picture-perfect nativity scene. That first Christmas was not produced by a flawless lead-up and elaborate preparations dictated by convention. It was a scandal. It was a mess. It might not have been, well, it almost certainly was not what Mary and Joseph had planned for their marriage and their life together. But Joseph had faith. He listened to God's angel and did not dismiss Mary. They had faith in God and listened to God's word, and God worked through them to give us the incarnation, Jesus Christ. Amen.